Before I get into the word, I want to extend appreciation to everyone who helped with the memorial service we did yesterday for my mother passing. So I just thank everyone. It's a very, very blessed thing to be part of a church family and, you know, where we pull together and doing certain things. I don't take that lightly. I try to express appreciation as much as possible. So thank you. And one other thing I probably should say now, because I might forget. See, I'm not good for doing any kind of announcements because I'll get so wrapped in deep in thought what I'm preaching, I forget about stuff. So, but I do want to make mention of something Steve had asked me this morning. Well, we've taken an offering for the Sharon Ministries with the orphans. Like, oh, wow, it slipped my mind with everything that's been going on. So we will, you know, if you want to give. And so for Christmas, the Christmas program to the orphans, that part of Sharon Ministries in India, you can do that and, you know, cash, check, or whatever. But we always are part of that. They try to give them all a new set of clothes for Christmas. Of course, the nice thing about living in a tropical area, you don't need summer, spring, winter clothes. I mean, just one set works all year round. But they'll give them a little bit of snack, food, maybe like a toy of some sort, a small toy. So that really blesses them. And usually they'll take some pictures and send them. So I do want to make mention of that, and I'll put that in a bulletin for next week. Amen. All right, well, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Verse 1, it says, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, sing praises to his name, O Most High. It's a good thing. You like good things? You know, if something's good, if you view it as good, you'll submit to it, receive it. You'll want to do it again if something's viewed as good. If you view something as bad, you can't wait to get away from it, see it's over with, or refuse it possibly. You know, did you ever maybe get some fish you're going to cook for dinner and something doesn't smell right? You know, so we got to throw this away. That doesn't always play so well in New York County, but there is a time to do that, you know. What do you view as a good thing? The Word of God says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, you know, these instruments would be the equivalent today of a guitar and a piano, you know, stringed instruments. You know, a piano was a stringed instrument. You push keys and there's a little hammer thing pounding on them. I guess the forerunner of the piano maybe was the harp. Did you ever hear real harp music? You know, the big old ones and they're plucking those strings. Actually very beautiful. Well, instruments are of the Lord. You know, there's some religious groups, they don't believe in instruments, but they need to read the Bible. I mean, there it is. For thou hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. We have a reason to have joy. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ. If you were having to work to earn your salvation, that would be a sad thing. Because you'd end up feeling like you failed over and over and over. And sometimes maybe you feel that way. You know, when you want to please someone, when you know it's not pleasing, that's troubling to your heart. You know, if you cook for someone, I'll do that now and then, you're waiting to hear that they liked it or they were blessed or something. You know, you don't want to see them go be sick or eat one bite and their eyes are going cross-eyed. And, oh, my. And do the old napkin deal. Take your napkin, open it up, and lay it on top. So no one sees you throwing it away. Now, you know, someone wants to bless you. They want to know you've been blessed. And God's done so much to bless us. And he deserves our praise, our thankfulness. And there's great joy in what he did. Because if you felt you had to like perfect your own works, you would end up sad a lot and feeling rather hopeless. But your salvation's all in his works. All in his works and your faith. Now, it is very important that you give thanks to the Lord. And I think I might have shared on this some maybe a couple weeks ago. But what you appreciate increases in value in your eyes. So the more you express appreciation or thankfulness to a person or for something you would have, the more you express it, the greater you'll value that. So it's very important, people in your life that you would say you love, express appreciation daily at every opportunity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, even a parrot can learn to do that. We can all learn to do that. But as we express that, our appreciation grows stronger, and that actually strengthens you in your commitment to obey the Lord and serve him. And in that thanksgiving and praise, it's showing forth or revealing or declaring his loving kindness, which is the word in the Hebrew, hesed, which means covenant love, mercy, faithfulness. There's a number of words that this word in the Greek encompasses, and you kind of know which one by the context. We need to be declaring that every day. God, you are so good. You are so good. Your love, you've been merciful. And you see, as we do this, it keeps our heart toward him. Keeps our heart in love with him. And really, you won't walk away if you continue to do that. And his faithfulness every night. His mercies in the morning, his faithfulness every night. And this is speaking of being faithful, the very character of God. He's a God that keeps his word, a God of truth, a covenant-keeping God, faithful in life. Everything and everyone may let you down at times, but he will never let you down. He is faithful. Sometimes things don't work the way we think, but doesn't change who he is. He is faithful. And as you continue to praise him just for those qualities alone, it's like God's given precious promises to me from in the covenant. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to be afraid. I need to keep my mind renewed in these things, and it keeps us strong. For you, Lord, made me glad. Hallelujah. We can rejoice every day and triumph in the works of his hands. The joy of the Lord is available to us every day, even though there's negative things, there's disappointment, depression, and all that. I shared a word on that, I guess, 2 weeks ago. But there's joy available to us. But there's times we have to do an override our own thoughts and emotions. You might feel down, but Jesus is Lord over it all. We're not going to let feelings rule us. We're not going to allow thoughts. We need to take every thought captive. Is this a word? Is what I'm thinking line up with the word? Or is this something of the flesh or of the devil? Declaring his loving kindness. Now, I want to dwell on that for a moment. We'll come back to Psalm 92. Lamentation chapter 3. Verse 22, there you are, Lamentation, chapter 3, verse 22, there he is. It's of the Lord's mercy, same word, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know, there's all kinds of evil all around us in this world. There's danger. There's the seen and the unseen. You have little viruses and parasites on. You don't see that with this eye. They're there. There's armies with nuclear bombs. We don't necessarily see them either, but we've seen pictures. We know what it can do. They're there. There's people who have evil in their heart. That would be a thief or a murderer. They're there. But by his mercies, we're not consumed. or the faithfulness of God to his promises, his compassion to us, to identify with us in any suffering and deliver us out of that, we're not consumed. That's a wonderful promise to know right there. Because otherwise, fear can begin to come upon you. And we're just navigating through this life, endeavoring to serve the Lord in the midst of all these dangers. But we can have a confidence in the midst of that. And that thought, we're not consumed by that because of the loving kindness, faithfulness, mercies of God. The truth of God protects us and takes us on through. I thank God I'm protected. There's some things I can't afford in life. I can't afford a Mercedes. Or maybe an old used one. Maybe I could. I don't know. I couldn't afford a new one. I know that. I don't go in Mercedes dealerships. I can't afford it. There's things we can't afford in the natural. But there's things in the spirit you can't afford. You can't afford to allow unforgiveness in your heart, bitterness in your heart. It'll eat you up. You can't afford a spirit of fear because it'll just rob peace from you. You can't afford not to have the hand of God on your life. There's a lie that's perpetrated of the enemy that you can just do whatever you want. You know, you can be where you want to be with, you know, do whatever. It's okay. God will wink at it. Just bless you anyway. That's not true. You can't just do what you want. I mean, you can, but there's a price to it, a price you can't really afford. One of these things I can't afford is not to have God's hand on my life, lest I be consumed, because there's dangers all around us. That's a reality. I can't afford that. So because of that and understanding that, I can't afford that. You know, allow bitterness, that's a luxury. I can't afford it. I have to forgive because I want the hand of God to stay on my life. So therefore, I don't want to open the door to the enemy or where protection's not there when you need it. So the Lord's mercies were not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I'll hope in him. Great is thy faithfulness. There's an old hymn. You probably all know it. Great is thy faithfulness. Well, that's an awesome truth. And if that helps you remember, you know, sing it in a shower or whatever you do, in the car. Great is your faithfulness. He's not just faithful, but it says great is his faithfulness. In other words, no matter what seems big as a problem to you, it's greater. The faithfulness of God is greater than whenever you're going to counter, whatever dangers could be posed towards you. He is greater. His promises are yes and amen to us. Therefore, my soul will hope in him. It's good. The Lord's good to them that wait on him, the soul that seeks him. Here's some more good stuff. The Lord's good to those that are waiting on him or you're looking to him, to the soul that's seeking him. Good stuff. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentation. Actually, the Lamentation, Jeremiah saw the car wreck happening. You know, if you ever heard of, you know, you're about to enter a car wreck and everything goes in like slow motion, your life flashed before you. And then you hear the sound of crunching metal. That's a sound that doesn't get out of your head too quick if you've ever been in one of those. But I've heard, you know, with many people, like everything just went in slow motion. You can see it coming. Jeremiah saw it coming. The captivity, the bondage. He was crying out, warning to the people, a call to repentance. They didn't hear him. In fact, he ended up cast into a prison by the king because he didn't want to hear it. He had the authority to do that. But Jeremiah was so grieved, and he was sometimes called the weeping prophet. He had a lot of sorrow because of what he saw coming. And when you see, when you understand the patterns of life, you can look at someone where they are, and you see the road they're on, and it's going to end up in a crash over here. Here's where this path leads. You know, when you understand patterns, just like roadways, if you take I-95 south and you just stay on there, you're going to come to Miami, Florida eventually. What, 18, 22 hours later? Depending on if you have angels on the bumpers or not. You know, they have a little weight to them. It'll slow the car down. It'll slow her down to 55 or whatever the speed limit is, 65, 70, whatever state you're in. Oh, Jeremiah, what chapter am I looking for here? Chapter 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old to me. And what I was sharing here, and it's in the midst here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah had such sorrow because he saw the car wreck coming. But in the midst of that, he says, God makes his mercies new. You know, those that are looking to him. And I pray that way for myself. Lord, make your mercies new to me today. Well, why would I pray something like that? Well, the answer is right here, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. An everlasting love. That's one that doesn't start, stop, quit, run out. It just on and on. Better than the Energizer Bunny. You know, on and on and on. You know, mountain springs seem to have no end. Or a spring of water, it just keeps flowing out from under the ground. Now, there could be a drought or something happened where an underground current's diverted for some reason. But outside of that, they just keep flowing. That water life keeps flowing down that mountainside. I just think that's an awesome thing. You know, you look at a spring of water. And God's his love is like that spring. It just keeps flowing towards you. You just have to go over where it's at, that's all. It's like a spring. There's water on that mountain. You just have to find where the spring is. And you go to it and you can start drinking water. I've loved you with an everlasting love. You know, you can't even mess this up. You can't become so offensive that God doesn't want anything to do with you. That's some good news. You know, people in the world will think, well, you know, you can't get away from a mother's love. Did you ever hear this kind of expression? Like a mother's love's unending. I don't know if that's true or not. What's wrong with men? Can't get away from a father's love. Men love too, you know? But the love of God is unending. Sometimes people come to an end of the love they might show. But there is no end. It is continuously there. And with that loving kindness, he has drawn us to him. What attracts you? What is it that attracts you? The loving kindness of God, if we will behold it, if we'll remember it, if we'll look upon it, oh, it draws you right in. It draws you right in. And in life, there's things that draw things. My wife has a picture of a hummingbird out there in the lobby. And red plants attract hummingbirds. I got that right, right? Red plants. So if you want to attract a hummingbird, you have red stuff out there. They're not colorblind. They see red. It attracts them. And we had read that they will come, or she had read, and she showed me and I read it. They'll come back to the same place, the same time. So the next day, she saw one out there at her hummingbird feeder thing. The next day, we saw him again, exact same time. So the third day, she gets her camera out and a tripod, and we're waiting because that bird is attracted to that red, and then what did you have in it to feed it? Like a sugar water or something? Oh, it was the what? Canna lily. It was a plant. It wasn't a feeder. It was a plant. It had red flowers. So this hummingbird's very attracted to this. So the next day, the third day, the exact same minute. This is interesting. Birds can tell time. The exact same minute, here comes this hummingbird. And again, it's pictures out there. To that plant, the exact time, because it was drawn to that canna lily. Canna lily plant. So she was waiting right there, snap, because their wings fly so fast. She was caught frozen in air by that canna lily. And all through the animal, plant, and insect, and everything, Kim, there's things that draw draw everything. Just the other day, we came home. My wife had a wreath on the door. And I opened the door, and a bird was in the wreath, hit me in the head, flies into the house. And we got to get rid of that wreath. But it attracted that bird because it's like, hey, here's a nesting place. And it would be like a little bit of warmth coming through there. It attracted that bird. There's another wreath on the door. Next time that bird's going to fly in your hair. Don. But it's just interesting, you know, how moss attracted to light, you know, and on and on we could go. What attracts you? You know, when we see, and really the beauty of the Lord is in his loving kindness. And we can tend to associate beauty with the female gender, not so much with the male gender. And really, everything God created is an expression of him, female and male, both the same. But part of the Lord, and there's references, the beauty of the Lord. And that which would be beautiful would be attractive, these flowers, these roses and daisies, and what's that? Mum? A mum for mum. Those flowers would be attractive. They're not repulsive. You know, and different things are attractive to people. Some people might like jewelry, or some people like other things, food, you know, whatever. You know, there's things that draw us. And the loving kindness of God draws us in. So really, to endeavor to lead someone to Christ, the simplicity of this is if they can but see the loving kindness of God, that's going to draw them. We don't try to push, coerce, convince, or anything like that, but to our life to be a revelation of the loving kindness of God. And if someone's ears open to hear you, you can speak of it and you can share from the word, and that in itself could bring them. Or it may be they're watching you. And sometimes people that are not saved, they're going to test you to see if this thing that you talk about is real. Because why should you commit to something that's not real? If you're going to buy a car, you want to know it's an operational condition. So you want it checked out. You might can I take it for a road drive? I want to see how this thing drives. And you want to determine, is this a piece of junk or is this worth whatever, $20,000, whatever you're going to pay? And people will test us. They'll prod at us. They want to know, kick the tires, you know. I mean, that's people in the car business will talk. Just tire kickers come on the lot. You know, they're not really interested in buying, but they're just checking things out. And some people check things out for quite a while before they finally buy. And any of you would be involved in sales, you would know that. Some people, they're already decisive. They know what they want. They don't need you trying to lure them in. And others, they're going to have to come back 5 times until they make that decision. They're not as decisive. But in any case, they have to come to a point that they feel this is the right thing. It's a good thing. And the loving kindness of God is what will lead people to repentance. So we go back to Psalm 92. That all being said, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Declaring his loving kindness, his faithfulness, because that is a basis of your faith and your confidence in going forward. You have a covenant with the living God through Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, you made me glad through your work. I'll triumph in the work of your hands. That's something needs to be a part of the confession of our mouth. I will be an overcomer because in Jesus Christ, I have overcome in him. He's overcome everything and my life's in him and I'm raised up with him. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, how great are your works? I kind of get a kick out of, in the media world. You know, and I enjoy sports, but you have people who will want to make like gods out of athletes. And people do that with actors and actresses and singers and all that. And it's like it's in the heart of man to worship. So people, it's like worship somebody like that. And sometimes it's very nauseating to me. It's like, that's enough of that. But it's really what amuses me. is someone, like they run 100 yards real fast, they catch a football or something, they sing a song real great, and it's like, oh, that's so great. Well, I can top that. Jesus Christ conquered death in the grave. He made the way of salvation. He's worthy of being your hero. My hero. I remember as a kid, there was movies and cartoons and all that. And this concept of hero was really big. And I don't know if it still is anymore. I guess there are like the superheroes. You know, they can... Yeah, I don't follow all that, but all the things that were comic books when I was a kid or movies now, the superheroes. But Jesus is the superhero of superheroes. He can top anything man would ever conjure up. I remember once going to Nigeria, and there was another pastor. He was from Maryland, and his daughter was along. She was 16. She was a nice girl, good Christian girl. But she had to top every story. You know, we'd be talking, sharing, you know, Lord did this or did that. It was like amusing. She would have to tell a story to top us. And I'm thinking, you're only 16 years old. I don't think you've had these experiences. I think she was just making up, you know. But she had to top us. You ever with somebody like that? It's like they have to top every story. Well, I can top your story. It's a story of Jesus Christ. He tops it all. Trumps it all. I don't mean the president, but I think it's a card game or something. There's Trump in it. Yeah, his work's great. It's really great. A brutish man does not know or a fool understand this. And a brutish is like another version of the fool. He's senseless. He's just ignorant. They don't understand this. When the wicked spring as grass can grow rather quick. When all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it's that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art the Most High forevermore. No matter what's rising up against God, against the things of God, against your life, it will perish. God is forever. He will not be moved off his throne. He is there forevermore. And we can approach him because of the work of the blood of Jesus giving us that gift of righteousness. It says, for lo, your enemies, Lord. I find this interesting. Your enemies. And he says again, lo, your enemies. They'll perish. You know, those of working along with the spirit of Antichrist, that's an enemy of God. If something's coming against you as his children, that's his enemy, because you're his. It's interesting, when you become a parent, there's this like inherent, out of a love, an inherent desire to protect your children. And you know the expression, don't get between a mother bear and her cubs, or a human mother bear and her kids, because they'll tear your head off. I mean, I'll never forget that. I've said this illustration before, but I'll say it again. When we moved, we had sold our home at the Lord's direction and rented a place, and it was winter. I think it was 1990. And a stray cat shows up at the house. And my wife, who's a marshmallow for animals, well, we can't let this cat out in the freezing cold in January. So we bring her in. And we have a German Shepherd. And that cat was really scared of that German Shepherd. And we didn't know it, but the cat's pregnant. Well, it didn't take long to find out. And she had her kittens in the house. And everything changed. Because this inherent thing to protect their young came out in this cat. And as long as those kittens were still in the house, the dog tiptoed around, because one day the dog ran in and jumped up on the bed, and there is the mother cat with the kittens on the bed. And I had to peel the cat off of the dog's head. I mean, it was all four claws were like completely dug in. This dog's head, this cat's wrapped all around. So the day after that, the dog tiptoes through the house. Where's that cat? But then once we gave the kittens away, now role reversed. Now the cat's afraid of the dog. And it was all because the protective instinct of that mother cat brought out a fierceness, even though the dog would have outweighed the cat by about 8-1 probably. In one bite would just crush the cat. The dog's afraid of the cat now. So the enemies of the Lord would be that which would seek to hurt you, whether it's directly demonic or indirect, doesn't make any difference because he loves you. God is the ultimate parent in that sense. And he says, your enemies will perish. The workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, and I'll be anointed with fresh oil. So what they would do is use like the horn of an animal, like a ram or such animals, and be hollowed out, and they'd put their oil in there, in that horn. They also use them as an instrument and other things. But my horn, or that which would hold the anointing of God, will be like the horn of a unicorn. Now, yeah, humorously, I guess it was last year or earlier this year when I was in India, we're riding across North India and there's like an animal preserve. And Brother Israel says, oh, you're going to see some unicorns. I thought, I didn't think there was such a thing as a unicorn. I know, is it or not? It's fictitious. That's what I thought. Oh, you're going to see a unicorn. So we're riding down the road. There's a bunch of rhinos there in an animal preserve, a bunch of rhinoceros. And it's like, oh, okay, it's a rhino. I got it now. And they have a big old horn, huge animals. He says, my horn will be like that. Now, I don't know if this is referring to a rhino or the unicorn, like the fantasized unicorn, but nonetheless, he says, it's going to be like that. So what I'm taking out of it's a big horn, not a little horn. It's a big horn. A bigger horn can hold more oil than a little horn. It'll be like the horn of a unicorn. I'll be anointed with fresh oil. And the oil used in Scripture is speaking of the Holy Spirit's anointing, his ministry upon you. So here we have, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing to declare his loving kindness and faithfulness. I'll be glad in what, because of the work that he did. My enemies, Lord, they're your enemies because you love me. They'll be scattered away. But my horn, you'll raise up, you'll lift it up, exalt, to raise up, lift up. Why would you lift up a horn? Now, I'm not going to open this. It's because you're going to pour it out on yourself. That's why. You would lift that horn because you're going to be anointed. Dump that thing on down. You know, most people, when they anoint with oil, it's a little dab will do you. But Brother Dale, I forget who it was. He dumped a whole bottle of olive oil. Who was that? He did that too. Oh, quite a few. I mean, they had a bath in olive oil. And they probably had that oil on their head for weeks. Was Alex one of them? He dumped a whole bottle of oil. He kind of gave a little warning like, don't wear an expensive suit or anything. You know, wear a raincoat for this ordination. But it's a big old horn, full of oil, raised up, ready to dump on you. And that's the expectation we want to have. An expectation that as I'm doing a good thing, giving thanks to the Lord, his Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on my life. We need to expect that. Oil of joy. Oil enabling us to press on in victory. My eyes shall see my desire, O my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, the cedar trees were used to make everything. Actually, cedars are very resistant to rot. I mean, you'll see them in log homes. It's good for furniture and all the rest. But that was a common tree there. I mean, maybe you beg to differ. You like cherry or oak or something like that. But maybe that didn't grow there. Cedars grew there. And they had the reputation. I mean, that was the best of lumber available. The righteous shall flourish or begin to blossom. And you've been made righteous by the work of Jesus Christ. And God's word here says you will flourish. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, for flowers to flourish, they're going to have to be planted somewhere. And if we're planted in the house of the Lord, we will flourish where we're planted. It's an expression, blossom where you're planted, bloom where you're planted. That's where it comes from here. We will flourish. We should have expectation. This is a good thing to confess. Lord, I'm in right standing with you by the work of Jesus Christ. You planted me here in my life. I will flourish where you planted me because the very life of God is within me. I will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Excuse me. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I mean, tend to think of being fruitful when you're younger. But what the word says is, you'll still be fruitful. If you'll stay where you're planted, you're still planted in the soil. You'll still bear fruit for the glory of God. We don't want to stop bearing fruit. We'll still bear fruit in our old age. You know, in the plant kingdom, generally there's a lifespan of things. Like an apple tree might last 20 years if you take care of it properly. It doesn't have a famine or something like that or a disease. But God's heart, his plan, is you'll still bear fruit the whole way to the end. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now, this word fat's not talking how we use the word fat today, referring to like overweight body fat, but it means prosperous. I remember in 1981 going to India, and I was told there was a kind of an old preacher. He was very well known. We stayed at his place, his orphanage, for a week. And we were other places. But he was rotund. They said, he's viewed as a prosperous man. To them, that was prosperity. To us, it's having a 3,000 square foot house and a new car. But to them at that time, if you had enough extra food to put weight on, that's prosperity. That's how they viewed that. He's a prosperous man because all us poor folk are skinny. We eat once a day. He must be rich. Look at that. So that's just different cultures. We have different versions of prosperity. We tend to associate it more with money, actually, in this culture. But the reality is, the fruitfulness of God is really our prosperity. I mean, praise God, he wants to bless you in finances and that as well, because the more you have, the more you can give. If you have the heart of a giver, hey, bring it on, Lord. When we present our tithe, we're always praying the promise of the tither of Malachi chapter 3. Lord, we present our tithes to you, and I believe according to Malachi, you will open the windows of heaven for us and pour out blessing we can't even contain. So much, you just have to give it all away. Don't stop believing for that. Don't stop releasing your faith. That's what I'm expecting. I'll still bring forth fruit in my old age. I'll be fat and flourishing in the Lord. Prosperous, flourishing. You know, things in the natural can fade away. But what you have in spirit through Jesus Christ, no one can take that from you. And as you continue to sow and walk in love, sowing into the lives of others, there's an increase of fruit that continues and continues on. Verse 15, to show the Lord's upright. He is my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. As we continue to flourish where he plants us, presenting our life to him, bringing fruitfulness, it declares that the God who you serve, he is your foundation. He'll uphold you. His promises are yes and amen, and he will bless you. But he's not just blessing you for you. He does because he loves you. But it shows who he is. As he blesses us, it shows who he is. And it's glorifying to him. So it's a good thing. You did a good thing today. Say that with me. I did a good thing today. By presenting your praises to him, you did a good thing. That's a good thing to do. Blesses him and increases him as valuable in your eyes. And we sing of the loving kindness of God and his faithfulness, his tender mercies. And it draws us to him over and over. There was a song back in the charismatic movement we sang many times. Sort of went like this. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And it went on. There was a certain part of me I didn't like, because the idea of falling in love is like you tripped and stumbled into it. But the concept there of your heart is toward him because you see his love for you. It can be continuous and ongoing for us. And the way we maintain that is just so simple. Let's continue to come and praise and thank him. Remembering his loving kindness, his faithfulness. Rejoicing in what he's done for us. That we have eternal life. Hallelujah.